All right, and we are live on Facebook. We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn, Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an aliyah. We are doing a brand new Mishnah. We spent 3 weeks on the previous Mishnah. Some fresh ideas in this Mishnah. Chapter 5, Mishnah 7. We are going to be exploring 7 characteristics of somebody who is wise and their inverse for somebody who we are going to consider a golem. We'll have to define what a golem is, not to be confused with the Maharal and not to be confused with Lord of the Rings. But the Mishnah here talks about a golem and its contrast to a wise person, and through that we'll again understand 7 different characteristics of somebody who is wise. So let's jump into the Mishnah. Source A, Shiva Devarim Bagolem V'Shiva B'Chacham. There are 7 things, characteristics of a golem, translated here as a clod, and 7 of a wise man. The structure of the Mishnah we're about to see, it's going to list the 7 characteristics of the wise person, and then it's going to end, if you cheat and look towards the end, it just says, V'chilufehen begolem. The reverse of these is the golem. So the way the Mishnah works is that it starts off by saying it's going to tell you 7 things about the golem, but that's not how it actually operates. It tells you 7 things about a wise person, and then says, you, presumably, if you're wise, will be able to figure out that the opposite of these is what the golem is. It does not actually list out the 7 for the golem. So we'll have to just, as we do it, remember that it's the opposite for the golem. So what's the 7 characteristics of a chacham? We're going to read through all 7, and we're going to take a step back, and we'll go through each one a little bit differently. Rabbi Shloni, say it again.
Is it about behavior or character?
Okay, I would phrase it differently. So you're jumping ahead a little bit, which is good. So meaning what we're going to have to figure out is, A, and we'll think about this now that you brought it up, we'll sort of foreshadow what we want to be thinking about as we read these 7 things. So is there a rhyme or reason to these 7? Is there a theme? Is there categories that we can place within these 7? Are these 7 characteristics of wisdom in the sense of knowledge, intelligence, IQ, or are they perhaps character traits or behaviors that wise people do and not necessarily how smart they are? Because that's something we're going to want to be thinking about as we read these 7. So again, we're going to read through the 7. Get your brain start bubbling. Is there an order here? Is there a general overall message? Can we put these together in different categories, subcategories? Then we're going to delve into each one specifically, see what the commentators have to say about that, see what you guys have to say about that. And then at the end, probably next week, there's too much to do for this week, we'll come back to the big picture and try to see any themes or overall big picture items that might come out through an analysis of all 7 together. So we're going to start small and then take a big picture after that. Okay, so let's jump in. So all 7 quickly and then back to do them slower. Number 1, Eino medaber b'fnei mishehu gadol mimenu b'chachma uveminyan. So a wise person does not speak before one who is greater than he in wisdom. So we'll have to see what that means, but generally there's a place for you to speak, and if somebody's greater than you, you're not going to speak in that context. Ve'eino nichnas l'sof divrei chavero. You do not break into your fellow's speech. So if somebody's talking, let's assume for now, even though not all commentators assume like this, means you don't interrupt people while they're talking. Eino nichnas l'sof divrei chavero. Number 3, Eino nivhol lahashiv. He is not hasty to answer, doesn't answer quickly. Again, there'll be several explanations for this, but just basic understanding now, doesn't answer quickly. Shoal ke'inyan umeshiv ka'alacha, he asks what is relevant and he answers to the point. The omer al rishon rishon, number 5, al achron achron, he speaks of the first point first and the last point last. Number six, Almasha lo shama omer lo shamati, concerning that which he has not heard, he says, I have not heard. The umoda ala emes, he acknowledges truth. And the reverse characteristics are for the golem. So the golem does speak before somebody who's greater than he in wisdom. He does break into his fellow's speech, interrupts him. He is hasty to answer. He asks irrelevant questions, answers questions not to the point. He speaks all over the place, doesn't have an order to his speech, no coherence to what he's saying. He says, I heard something, even though he hasn't heard it. And he doesn't acknowledge the truth. That's the golem. So let's go and start off by figuring out, what is a golem? Where have we seen this word before? Can we get any hints from other places, either in Tanakh or Chazal, for what a golem is? Is it mean somebody who's, would you translate, stupid? And we have other words. I don't like using these types of words so much, but, you know, we have other words to describe somebody who lacks intelligence. Golem seems to be unique. It's not tipesh, somebody who's stupid, a kseel, somebody who's foolish. There are other words to use. What exactly does golem mean? So we're going to see it's a dispute, but before we see that, let's see other contexts and places that it's used. So number one is in Tehillim, for those Tehillim people. The pasuk here says in 139:16, Galmi ra'u einecha va'al sifrecha kulam yikasevu yamim yutzaru v'lo echad bahem. So the pasuk says, your eyes saw my unformed limbs. Unformed limbs. Galmi, unformed limbs. Something unformed. Okay, so there's a little bit here, but let's keep going. What does that mean to be unformed? So here the Mishnah, the Gemara here in Chulin, it's a little bit of a complicated conversation, but we'll get the main point for our purposes. The Mishnah says, Tahor b'chli eitz tameh, b'chli matachos tahor, b'chli matachos tameh, b'chli eitz. That which is ritually pure in wooden vessels is ritually impure in metal vessels. That which is ritually pure in metal vessels is ritually impure in wooden vessels. So we're not going to get too much into purity and impurity here, but you see there's sort of an inverse between wooden and metal vessels. It's enough for now. The Gemara says as follows, Tan Rabbanan, Golmei Kli Eitz Tmeyen, Pishuteyen Tehorin. So when it comes to wood, the Golmei, again, that's the word golem, unfinished wooden vessels that are receptacles and are fit for use, but work remains to complete their craftings, are susceptible to becoming impure. So it's unfinished vessels. For wood, it's impure, but flat wooden utensils are not susceptible to impurity. Then it's the flip, unfinished metal vessels, golmei kli matachos, are not susceptible to impurity, but flat are. So the point here, again, it's not so important about the, and it is important in general, but for our purposes for now, in terms of the purity-impurity sake, but the point for now is that when it comes to unfinished vessels, there's different rules, whether it's metal or whether it's wood, as to whether or not it can become impure. But golem here means unfinished. So let's take that now and see if we can apply that to our Mishnah. What does it mean to be somebody who is a golem versus somebody who's a chacham, someone who's unfinished? So let's look at Rashi here. Rashi says, Begolem, Kemoshin Amari, quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim that we said, Galmei Ra'u Einecha, and he quotes the Gemara that we just saw, Kli Eitz, Shalom Nigmar Malachto, Kach Ze'in Das Klum. So Rashi says, this is a jump that people are going to disagree with. He says, unfinished here means that he has Ein Bo Das Klum. He has no knowledge, no ability to think clearly. Again, das might be a technical term that, if we go back to other shirim we did, there's a difference between chachma, bina, and das. That's true. But the point here is that he has no das, according to Rashi. Adam she'ein bo bina kari le golem. He also has no bina. He's not able, again, to think intuitively. Alshem shelo nigmar tzuraso. He hasn't finished his form. Kishar b'nei adam kamo gomei kli eitz. So the context for Rashi is that it's really a pretty harsh black and white statement. It's not the unfinishedness here is that he has no, you might go so far to say, Rashi is saying he has very little intelligence. He obviously has some intelligence. Nobody has zero intelligence, right? But he's not very intelligent at all. Like, there's nothing. It's ein bo klum, bo das klum, ein bo adam she'ein bo bina. So the Rambam here disagrees, right? And the Rambam's going to explain Golem differently than Rashi. And in order to do that, what the Rambam does for us is something very important, and he distinguishes between five different types of people. So he says, Ani, source number four, Ani aferesh tchila elu ha-shemos ha-chozrim harbe b'divrei ha-chachamim. He says, we throw around these terms, the sages throw around these terms, and we need to operationally define what they are. What are these terms that get thrown around? And we've seen most of these in Pirkei Avos already. You have a boor, which we'll define shortly, an am ha-aretz, a golem, a chacham, and a chassid. So what's the difference between a boor, an am ha-aretz, a golem, a chacham, and a chassid? The first three, the boor, the am ha-aretz, and the golem, are going to be somewhat of a negative term. There'll be levels and gradations of how negative they are. And obviously the chacham and the chassid are generally positive terms. So what is the difference between a boor, an am ha-aretz, and a golem? So number one, amnam boor. Hu ha-ish asher ein lo milos sichlios velo milos midios. So this is probably the worst you can be for the Rambam. It's somebody who doesn't have good character and he is not very intelligent. Ritzoni lomar lo chachma velo musar. No wisdom, no ethics. Va'af lo higia lo kinyan haros, ilu ki ilu hu aru min ha-tovos va-ros, v'zeh yikra bor. So it's not necessarily that he has negative traits, but he doesn't have positive ones. That's considered a boor. Kedmus ha'aretz asher lo nizra ba'davar min ha'dvarim. It's basically empty. It's like a boor is a field that's it's unworked. It's just, there's nothing there. V'yasher tikra boor, k'moshe isbar bizroim. And so a boor is somebody who has no wisdom and no positive traits. Might not have negative traits. That might be more of a rasha, but it's sort of a blank person. Number two is am ha'aretz. What's an am ha'aretz? Hu she'ish she'yesh lo milos midos, aval ein lo milos sichlios. This person's a good person, but he's not very intelligent. Ritzoni lomar she'yesh lo derech eretz. He's a nice person. He interacts well with people. He has derech eretz, but ein lo Torah. But he doesn't know much about Torah. V'zeh yikra am ha'aretz. Kolomar shu matim li'ish of ha'aretz v'kibbutz ha'medinos. He's good for social situations. He's good for the community. L'fi she'yesh lo midos. Tete behen chavrato imzua, so he does nice for other people. Kamo shabriyan bepsichos chiburenu, as we've explained in the introduction, the Shmona Prakim of the Rambam to Pirkei Avos. So an am ha'aretz is somebody, we basically have two possible things we're talking about. Wisdom and character. A boor has neither. An am ha'aretz has character, but not wisdom. So what's a golem? The golem, number three. Hu ish yesh lo milos sichlios, u milos midos. So, not like Rashi. Rashi said the guy's ein bo das klum, ein bo bina. The Rambam says he has wisdom, and not only does he have wisdom, he's a good, generally a good person as well. He has strengths of character. Aval, einan al hashlemus ve'einan nimshachos lefi haro'i. They're not perfected, they're not developed well enough, and they aren't applied appropriately. Eliyesh ben bilbul v'irbuv. There's something wrong there. There's some confusion. Upogem osan chisaron. There's something lacking in how this person both thinks and behaves. Ulezen nikra golem. And that's why it's called a golem. Because what does a golem mean? A golem means unfinished. A golem doesn't mean empty. Doesn't mean nothing. It means that there's something there, it's just not put to the final structure. It's not fully developed. Kidmus ha-kli asher yasu ha-uman, v'tekiye lo ha-tzura ha-meluchasis, aval yichasur lo ha-shloma v'ha-shichlu. So it's like you have, like, if you can picture, you know, you're starting to create something, but you haven't put the finishing touches on it yet. You haven't fully developed the end game, the end product. Kigona Sakin Vasayef. So if you're creating a knife or you're creating a sword and you started, melding them and you started the process, but you haven't really put the finishing touches on them, that's what a golem is. That's what golem klima tachos is, like it says in regards to Kalim, like we saw in the Gemara in Chulin. V'mila ivris gome roe nach, and he quotes our pasuk in Tehillim as well. Ritzoni lomar chomri l'fiagas suras ha'adam bo. So there's a form, but there's no... that you haven't fully formed it yet, because Sherloi Giel is that Sura Shlema hasn't been perfected. Karu Golem, Kidmusa Chomer Nimsa, Vumuchan Lekabel Tzura Acheres Yeba Yoser Shalim. So the point according to the Rambam here is that a golem is an unfinished product. There's some material there to work with, but it's confused. It's not fully there. The person in terms of wisdom and the person in terms of character doesn't fully know how to apply himself or herself in various situations to make sure that the wisdom and the character comes out well. That's a golem according to the Rambam.
According to the Rambam, its golem is not complete opposite of Chacham.
Correct.
He has something there.
Correct.
Chacham is perfect.
Correct.
And according to Rashi, is more like it. He says he has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. In Boklum.
Correct.
The Rambam, he has something, but it's not finished.
Right, so Rashi's more black and white. It's more pejorative, if you will. The person has, it's a total lacking of wisdom. According to the Rambam, it's there. It's just not, again, not a finished product. So if that's the case, right, golem, according to the Rambam, is not as negative. But again, there's work to be done. Presumably, to be able to fix these traits so that somebody can go from being a golem to a chacham, assuming these are fixable traits, which we usually assume. These are skills that need to be developed. Okay? And the Rambam's going to split. I'll foreshadow a little bit, although we might have done this next week. But the Rambam's going to split our seven things. I told you to start thinking in terms of categories. The Rambam's going to split our seven into... Okay. The Rambam's going to split our seven into some traits that are intellectual traits and some traits that are character traits. Okay, so he's going to say that our seven are divided into these two, because according to him, a golem is somebody who lacks fully developed both in intellect as well as character. According to Rashi, it sounds like it's more just an intellectual concept, so that you might have to reread the Mishnah's seven things according to Rashi slightly different than you would according to the Rambam. That's a little bit ahead of ourselves for now. So that's the golem according to the Rambam. He then goes, explains a chacham, which is somebody who has both sort of perfected malos, both in terms of wisdom as well as character. Remember, according to the Rambam, a chacham is not somebody who's wise but doesn't have character. In a Jewish Chazal conception, somebody who's, just because you're smart doesn't make you a chacham. You have to have chacham, wisdom, as well as character. And then finally, a chassid is somebody who's a chacham, who isha chacham kasher yosef b'maylo. You go above and beyond. Ritzoni lomar b'maylos hamidos at shiyata l'katza ha'echad ma'at. And for those who are in the Hilchos Deos shir from a year or so ago, we elaborated on this a little bit more. But the chassid has an extra added level of piety to him when it comes to character. So chacham and chassid. Chassid we're going to isolate for now because it's not important. Ama Aretz and Bor also are not for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah contrasts the golem and the chacham. The chacham has perfected intellect and character. The golem has some intellect and some character, but it's not fully developed or formed. So let's see a few more quick ideas related to the golem following in the Rambam's footsteps. The Rabbeinu Yonah, the Meiri, and the Tiferes Yisrael, sources 5, 6, and 7, add a little bit of a spin here that I think gives us a little bit added depth. So the source number 5, Rabbeinu Yonah, says there's seven things with the golem. He says, Kol davar she'ein suraso nigmeres nikra golem. Anything whose form has not fully been completed, that's considered a golem. He quotes our pasuk in Tehillim. Kodam tzuras ha'evarim kacha yodea masha melamdin oso. So here he says as follows. The Rambam doesn't make this added jump in what we read. The Rabban Yonah does. Kacha yodea mashem alam demoso velo yada laso svara midaito nikra golem. So he takes it in a little bit of a unexpected direction. Somebody who can understand what he's taught, but cannot develop a thought on his own, is considered a golem, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. So he can regurgitate, he can even understand well what somebody teaches him, but he cannot create a svara midaato, some sort of logical explanation based on his own thinking. That, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is a golem. Might be slightly different than the Rambam, and definitely a little bit different than Rashi. She'ein chachmaso nikeres. And because of that, you cannot tell his wisdom, because the wisdom, presumably here, would only be understood and seen through your ability to think on your own. Ula olam ein daito magas l'gdor atzmo b'shiva dvarim halalu shebehen me'inyin ha'chachma u'mihen mimidos tobos b'chein perish ramzal. And these are things that are going, these seven things in our Mishnah, the golem is not going to be able to get to. So I'm going to put this on hold and let you be the judges over time, because I'm not convinced as of yet that what he's saying is going to be clear within our Mishnah. His definition follows through. You'll be the judge of that after we finish. But for the starting point here is that the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that a golem can't think of a svara, a logical explanation of things on his own. He can hear and process and explain what he's heard. And because of that, because he can't say something on his own, we're not going to see his wisdom, and he's not going to be able to develop the full wisdom. My question to you is, does that really fit with the seven characteristics in our Mishnah? You'll have to judge. Perhaps when we get to the end, we'll come back and ask for your input into that. But he adds an important element here. Now, the Meiri here in source number 6 says something interesting. He goes like the Rambam and explains the different types of bor, ama'aretz, etc. And here he's talking about golem. Hadalad, the golem, who shekana milo sichlios v'ktsas midos hechrachios lilmod, v'lo silsil atzmo b'milos hamidos b'tachlis, el shenishar b'ktsas midos pechusos. So the Meiri takes a little bit of a more emphasis here, that the golem is somebody who lacks, he focuses on the character. He has acquired, look how he says it, I think this is slightly different than the Rambam. He has acquired shekana milo sichlios. He has wisdom, but he only has ktsas midos hechrachios lilmod, some of the character traits required for learning. And he hasn't fully developed all of the character traits, and some of them are pechusos, they're lacking. Ukvar yadas de milos hamidos kodemes la milos hasichlios. And here is an important point. Character must come before intelligence. Meaning that there are certain, what we would call in modern terms, maybe soft skills or social emotional skills that are important for students to have before they are able to actually learn well. Meaning you're not going to become fully wise if you don't have the appropriate character, social emotional traits that will allow you to both develop and communicate that intelligence. Right, derech eretz kadma l'torah. Exactly. Umitoch she'ein lema, and I think he made a similar point when we spoke about that a few years ago. We can go back to those shirim to check it out. Umitoch she'ein lemailos hasichlios mehus l'shemos bezulas mailos hamidos betachlis nisher limudo meurbav umevulbo. So his point here again, I think it's slightly different and a little bit sharper than the Rambam, because the Rambam just conflated that this golem doesn't have both. He lacks both intelligence and fully developed intelligence and fully developed character, the Meiri is more sequential here. He might have some intelligence, but because he doesn't have the character, he can't fully develop the intelligence. Ulezen nikra golem shu nemar al akli, and he quotes the same idea from the Gemara Chulin, that it's not fully developed. That's what a golem is. Not fully developed concepts. Finally, the source number 7, we won't see it inside, but Tiferes Yisrael points out that he thinks that this reading of the Rambam and the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Yonah also on some level, he doesn't quote them by name, but is a better reading than a Rashi reading, because that's why we use this term golem and not a sachel or a pesi, right, or a tipesh. The classical terms for somebody who lacks intelligence, this person doesn't lack intelligence, they just haven't fully developed their character, which does also impact their lack of fully developed intelligence. Now, this type of person, I'll add, might be more dangerous on some level than somebody who lacks intelligence, because this type of person has some intelligence. So they can... I guess, fool you on some level, or communicate something that sounds okay or sounds right, especially for somebody who, let's say, is more of an Ama Aretz, who doesn't have a fully developed skills of knowledge. So this person could, in theory, be influential, right? And you can think, perhaps, maybe not of a specific person, but of a type of a person who lacks, who is a golem on some level, who can be a dangerous character, because the golem, without the fully developed wisdom, without the fully developed character, can influence others to what's a non-perfected wisdom and character. If I didn't know anything, and I had no Milos Sichlios and no Milos Medios, and nobody's going to listen to me, I'm just some guy. But if I have some of it, I can perhaps, maybe not purposefully, but I could perhaps use these incorrectly to develop ideas or to communicate to others things, and it could lead people off to the wrong direction. Is that just a side point that I think that it's a little bit more dangerous than just being an Ama Aretz, is this new category of golem. Okay, so with this introduction, let us start jumping into the different elements here. So the first element was Eino medaber b'fnei mishu gadol mimena b'chachmo v'minyan, that I do not speak in front of somebody who is greater than me, either in wisdom or in number. So we'll have to see, what does this mean that I don't speak in front of somebody who's not greater than me in wisdom or number? So if you take this at face value, we have a problem. Because, you know, try to visualize this suggestion. So if I'm a chacham, right, this is what we want. So we're moving from golem. Remember, from now on, the Mishnah is talking about the traits of a chacham, and the inverse are going to be for the golem. So we're saying that the trait of a chacham is to not speak in front of somebody who's greater than he is. Right, so can somebody take something that we've actually learned in the past, or perhaps from your own experience of being in a classroom teaching or as a student or a learner, what would be a problem about interpreting this at face value, that I'm not supposed to speak in front of somebody who has greater wisdom than I do?
I should be a good listener and not talker.
Okay, so you're... Okay, so Rabbi Shloni... Okay, good. So I'm gonna start with Dr. Fruchter's word, with Joyce's point, and then I'll Rabbi Shloni, you're starting to explain it with more nuance, but the gut reaction when I hear "don't speak in front of somebody who's greater than you" is, how can I possibly take that literally? Because if it means don't speak, we have concepts of law by Shan Lamed. I can't be bashful and learn, because I have to speak up, I have to talk, I have to ask, I have to be inquisitive, right? So do we want to either be students or have students who are just passive receptacles, who just sit there listening to all of the wise things that the sage on the stage, that the teacher has to tell them, without actually engaging in that dialogue? It doesn't sound like something we would want, and it doesn't sound like something that the Mishnah would try to communicate. So because of that, yes, Laser.
Yeah, then we have a contradiction, would be a contradiction, because we know in Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin was sitting, first the junior judges were speaking, and then the senior judges.
Okay, great, Laser. That's an excellent point. We have in the Sanhedrin was ordered in a way that the people who were younger and less wise spoke first, possibly to counteract, for those who remember from a while ago, I wrote a Psych for Torah on this based on an article that Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Schnall wrote on the elements of how the Sanhedrin was developed to counteract the concept of groupthink. Groupthink is when somebody of a stature or power, a CEO of some sort, or a sage speaks first, then everybody will usually, unless there are things in place to counteract this tendency, everybody will sort of become yes people and agree with that original person who spoke. So the Sanhedrin was constructed in a way that the person who was of less stature spoke first. So Laser saying, Joy said that it's against Lo Abay Shan Lamed, that's true, and Laser saying it's against the concept of Sanhedrin that the lower people speak first. So obviously, it can't just mean that you can't speak in front of somebody who's greater than you. And the commentators are going to go with that assumption and give us some interesting insights into what this means on a deeper level. Barbara.
What does minyan mean? The minyan.
That's okay, so we'll get to that. Some actually take it out of this. Out of this Mishnah, take the word out and say that it's not supposed to be there. But it could possibly mean that the person has more students than you do. So that's sort of like a stature point. There could be other explanations. We'll perhaps get to that later. But just so that you know, that it is a term used in other places. For instance, a Beis Din of a later generation cannot argue with a previous Beis Din's Psak, with their halachic ruling, unless that later Beis Din is greater in chachma and minyan, in wisdom as well as in number, and there's a discussion there exactly what that means as well. So it could be we're just borrowing that phrase of chachma and minyan from there, but one possible explanation is that it just means the person has more stature because they have more students. So you don't want to be speaking in front of somebody who has, you know, much more students. That's a sign of greatness over and above who you are. So the Mishnah would be saying, don't speak in front of them. Again, our point, though, is they can't take that at face value because it wouldn't create a classroom environment, if we're talking about a classroom or a learning environment, that seems to be optimal based on other things we've learned in Perkei Avos, as well as it doesn't seem to follow the way the Sanhedrin worked in general. So with that, let's see what this could possibly mean. So look at source number 8, the Pirkei Moshe. So the Pirkei Moshe says as follows. All right, we'll do this. It's a side point, but I think it's an important side point. The first paragraph here, if you would go back and analyze R7, as I asked you to do probably too quickly. But if you looked at the 7 and tried to put it into categories, I said we'll get back to this at the end of the shir, but since he writes it, we'll do it here too. The Pirkei Moshe says that R7 can be broken up into categories based on who the message is for. So the subject of the message, meaning what? Vaseder Nachon Etzli who? Shebir Roshem Hashalim B'chachma B'chol Ezamin Michachma Shetia. It is applying the rules of wisdom into all possible scenarios. What are the scenarios? Mitzad Hanagasa Ru'uyelo Imisha Gado Mimenu. One is, how do you interact with people who are greater than you? Shudome L'Rabo, like your teacher. That's category number one. You're interacting with people who are greater than you. Category two, Vim Hashavalo. Other parts of our Mishnah are telling you how to interact with people who are on the same level as you. Ubichalo Chaver Bator, like a peer, a colleague, a chavrusa. And the third type of message in our Mishnah is Imisha Katon Mimenu. V'chal hu tamido. How do you interact? How does a wise person interact with his students? So the Mishnah, according to Pirkei Moshe, is broken down into these three categories. How do you interact with somebody greater than you? How does wisdom show itself in that relationship? How does wisdom show itself in a relationship between a peer, between peers? And how does wisdom show in a relationship between a teacher and a student? I guess that's a side point. Interesting how he reads the Mishnah. And as we go through it, we'll see how that plays out. But back to our point for now. What does it mean to not talk in front of somebody who's greater than you? Valarishon shehu hanagaso imishagadmi menu. How do I interact with somebody who's greater than me? Bechachma, amar she'eno medaber bifnei mishu gadol b'menu bechachma. Don't speak in front of this person. V'rabim hichshu b'zeh. Shrei amru lo abay shalamed. Lots of people have asked. Right, Joyce? Lots of people have asked. Lo abay shalamed. You can't be somebody who's timid. You have to speak up if you want to be a learner. V'amru mikol melamda iskalti. As well as the fact that we have the inverse of that, is that is another possible proof you could have brought, is that from the Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam, from Mishnah 4:1, I learn from everybody. The pasuk brought to show that I learn from everybody is Mikol Melamda Iskalti. I learned from all of my from all my students. So how can I? It flips the relationship. Right, so as a student, I can't be embarrassed. We know that. But as a teacher, I'm also supposed to be learning from everybody. But how can I be learning from everybody if the status quo is that nobody can talk in front of me? Right? So it doesn't make sense. Obviously, there's an interaction between somebody who's a student and somebody who's a teacher. If I don't ask when I don't understand something, who am I supposed to ask? Now, interestingly, you could ask a peer, and there is some literature out there that shows that peer learning perhaps can be even more effective than teacher-student learning, partially because the peer who understands it can empathize better with the process of learning and is more fresh to understanding what needs to be understood in order for the other peer to get it, because they just went through the process. Sometimes the teacher, usually not such a great teacher, but it happens. And even with good teachers, it's true that the peer might be better. But there's something called the curse of knowledge, that when I know something really well, sometimes it's hard for me to communicate because I don't really understand how you don't understand, because it's so obvious to me. I had a statistics professor once who said, and I'm not very good at statistics, I passed, thank God, but he said, you know, it's hard for me to teach this stuff because I really don't understand what you don't understand. And in my books, that makes you not a great professor, because the goal is to try to understand what the student doesn't understand in order to teach them. But there's also some wisdom to the fact that peers can help in that relationship sometimes better than a teacher, but that's not where he's going. Now, he's saying is that you need that teacher-student relationship, and the student needs to be able to ask in order to clarify, and you just told me, apparently, that I'm not allowed to speak. So,
May I interrupt for a second? He doesn't say, Eino shoel, Eino medaber, bifnei mishu gadol.
Okay.
Shoel, yes.
Okay.
Don't talk. Don't
go to your
speech.
Okay, great. So Rabbi Shlomi is doing a close reading. The word does not say eino shoel, doesn't say don't ask. It says eino midaber. So the key is going to be, what does it mean midaber, to speak? Okay, so he says, ach kar lahem hasafek hazeh, lama shlo diktiku b'lashon atana, ki lo amar shlo yishael l'misha gadol mimena b'chachma. So that's exactly your point. Doesn't say he doesn't ask, v'lo yidaber imo, and it doesn't say even don't speak to him. Rak amar shlo yidaber befanav, don't speak in front of him. What does that mean? Ki ze lo yitachin rak kish yidaber im acher bifnei mishagadol mimena b'chachma, ki ein roi ledaber rak imo kish omed lefanav. He totally rereads what we thought this Mishnah was saying. He's saying that if you're talking to your friend, and there's a person who's wiser than both of you next to you, don't interact with your friend like that person's not there. So meaning you're having a middaber, you're having a dibur, you're having a conversation with a third party, in front of somebody who's wiser than both of you. That's inappropriate. Either spend your time interacting with that person who's wiser than you so you can learn something from them, slash bring them, I guess, into the conversation, or don't say anything, because the point here is that when there's somebody wiser than you in a group, you don't want to be pushing them to the side, either for the sake of their feelings, or for, well, I guess that's true about anybody, but or for the sake of that it's not really a wise thing to do. Take advantage of the fact that that person's there and speak and interact with them. Right. So let's read that again.
Rabbi, even if they're not wise, even if that person isn't wise than you, it's very impolite to do that.
Well, correct, Barbara. So that's what I alluded to, is that the point here to sort of it's an important midos point to bring people into a conversation regardless. Yeah. Here it's not just a midos point. I think that's true, and we wouldn't say that's not something to aspire to. But it's an additional point, because we're not just talking about midos here; we're also talking about wisdom. So it's both for social reasons, to for the feelings of the other person, that we're adding. But from a wisdom perspective, it's also not good in order for you to become intelligent, if that's what you're doing. You're sort of boxing out the person who you can get most wisdom from by speaking with somebody else in his presence. So let's read it again. Rak amar shlo yidaber befanav ki ze lo yitachen rak kishi yidaber im acher befnei mishagaldu mimena b'chachma. You're speaking to a third party in front of somebody who's wiser than you. Ki ein roi ledaber rak imo kisha omed lefanav. It's appropriate to, when you're in front of somebody who's wise, it's appropriate to speak to that person. Rak velo yidaber befanav im acher shena mina roi v'amusr. It's not appropriate. It's not moral, as it were. It's not a good midos. Velo na'e l'chacham l'daber kishenimsa lifnei gadol mimenu rak b'sheilos al asfekos asher lo el agadol ahu lilmod mimenu. And then he adds another point here. So what type of conversation should I be having with that person who's wiser than me? Right, so let's say I'm talking about, I'm talking about politics or sports or a good TV show that I saw, and I'm talking to my friend, and the gadol hador is standing right there. So the message isn't like, oh, bring him into the conversation, tell him about the box score from last night. The answer is no. Speak to that person in wisdom and ask them questions and learn from them and engage them. Okay, so according to the Pirkei Moshe, the message here is not don't speak up when you have questions, don't interact, because lo abayish and lamed, and we learn the learning process involves a give and take, a questioning and answering. It has to be done appropriately, obviously. You don't want to be you don't want to be boisterous, you don't want to be calling out too much and all of that, but obviously there's a back and forth and a give and take. That's not what our Mishnah means. It can't possibly mean not to speak up when you're learning. That's his point. We'll see the source number 9 in a second. I just want to give you a counterpoint in source number 10, Rabbeinu Bachaye, where he says that perhaps there's another meaning here. He seems to be indicating. He says, "Eino medaber b'fnei mishagadu medaber chachma ela yishtok, velo yidaber." So he says a different message. It's not to bring him into the conversation. Just don't talk. Why? Sharei shtika misimanei achachma. Because, as we know from all the way back in the first parak, siag l'chachma shtika, is that you shouldn't just be go rambling on and talking. So the Rabbeinu Bachaye seems to be indicating, not that if you have a question you shouldn't ask it. He doesn't go that far. That can't possibly be what it means. But it just means that don't go rambling on in front of somebody who's wiser than you, because siag l'chachma shtika, I spent all my days in front of, as Shmuel ben Gamliel says, I spent all my days learning from the sages, and lo matzah, right? There's nothing better than silence. So the message here is slightly—it's different than the Pirkei Moshe. It's that there is value to not rambling on and to just stay quiet and not talk. Now, that leads us into source number 9, the Abarbanel, and this is a fascinating source. I remind you that we're going to do this one. Somewhat long, but it's worth doing, and I'm in no particular rush. So if this is all we do for today, fine. The Abarbanel here to keep in mind is we're going to look at the structure of how he deals with this one. This is the first one of our seven. He's going to have a similar structure in how he deals with all sevens. We're not going to see all seven, but we'll see how he deals with this as a paradigm. And the other thing to remember is that the Abarbanel from last week said that, if you remember, the ten things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, 10 things that were created on the dawn of creation, which we spent 3 weeks talking about. The Abarbanel's explanation of that is that, anybody remember, why does it say on the dawn of creation? How does he read the Mishnah? Why is it important that it's on the dawn of creation? The entire Mishnah, all 10 things, plus the few add-ons, are only a response post Adam and Chava sinning. Okay, so we didn't go through all 10 of them, but we saw one or two examples of how the Abarbanel reads the previous Mishnah as all being post Adam and Chava's sin, and that's why Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos got it to create these 10 things in order to counteract and show a point against the behavior of Adam and Chava. So that's going to be important here, because he's going to read this Mishnah on some level as a continuation of that, is that some of these traits, these seven traits of wisdom, are also counteractive to Adam and Chava's character. So let's jump into this Abarbanel. Again, our main point here we want to understand, besides for his methodology, is what does it mean not to speak in front of somebody who's greater than you in wisdom and number. So, ha'echad, hu she'eino medaber lifnei mishu gadol mimeno b'chachma. V'asiba ba, the reason is, ki liyoso chacham makir ha'chachma v'cholik kavod liba'aleha. So, number one, how does it show that I'm wise? Is that it shows that I can recognize wisdom. And that's important. So I see somebody of wisdom and stature. The fact that I even see that the hierarchical relationship, the fact that this person is wiser than me, is an element of wisdom in myself. Right? To be able to be makir, to realize, to understand that this person is smarter than me, is wisdom. You have lots of people who think they are smarter than other people, and they're not, and that itself is not a sign of wisdom. Okay, so the sign of wisdom is to see makir the chachma, as well as cholik kavod the bala, to give the proper respect and the honor due to the person who has wisdom. Right. Ve'ein hakavana she'eino medaber lefanav klal. Right, so that's obviously not the case. Like the Pirkei Moshe, it doesn't mean you don't speak in front of him at all. Ki im derech chevra v'derech hora v'limud b'chacham v'hu lo yasekin. Aval ba'kiro shu chacham imenu yishol mipnei ayira. You're going to interact, you're going to ask, but the way you're going to ask is going to be with deference, with respect. Why? K'dei lilmod mi'chachmaso, to learn from them. Kimamar ben Zoma ezu chacham aloman mikol adam. Can bringing in the Mishnah we alluded to before, somebody who's wise learns from everybody. Ki bihiyoslo cheshek atzum lekinyan chachma yishal veyilmad mimishagadam imenu kimaymar chacham. So he adds another element here. Part of wisdom is a desire, a cheshek, a longing to learn more, to acquire more, and part of that is asking and learning from somebody who's greater than you. As it says, Kishateshav ifnei chachamim yeritzoncha lishmoa yoser miladaber. And here's an important point, Rabbi Shlomo, you alluded to this before, is that when I'm sitting in front of a chacham, doesn't mean don't ask, but my perspective must be that my priority is to listen and not to speak. It doesn't mean that I can't speak. Speaking is part of learning. But my main MO, sort of status quo, is to be listening, lishmoa, and not to speak. And when I'm speaking, it's going to be hard for me to listen. V'shlomo amelech alav ha-shalom omar. Shlomo says already, and this is going to be important, I'm just going to highlight this because throughout you'll see that a lot of the points in our Mishnah about what it means to be wise are spoken explicitly already in Mishlei by Shlomo HaMelech, because Shlomo, one of his goals of Mishle is to show and to demonstrate what a wise person is and contrast it with somebody who's a ksil, somebody who's not wise, etc. And we spoke all the way in the beginning, possibly even the first shiur, as to how Pirkei Avos on some level is a continuation or a jumping off of some of the lessons of Mishle. So in our Mishnah, which goes to speak about wisdom, many of the commentaries are going to point to Psukim in Mishle that show this point already. So what's the Pasuk in Mishle? Lo yachpots ksil betfuna ki im behisgalos libo. The fool does not desire understanding, but only to air his thoughts. Right? So the inappropriate way to come to a learning environment is to just, I want to say my opinion. I just want to get out what I'm thinking. That's the inappropriate way to come to a learning situation. Doesn't mean you can't talk, but that's the wrong approach. The right approach is to come to listen and to absorb, and then to speak, to ask, to have a dialogue, fine. The Barbanel continues, the Kfar Nimsa Shoresh Lemida HaMeshuvechas HaZos Mina Torah. And now here's something else the Barbanel does. Besides for giving his explanation of what the Mishnah is talking about, and besides for pointing to a Pasuk in Mishle, what the Barbanel is going to do is he's going to tell us on each one of these seven, where do you see an example of this already in Chumash? Or a story in Navi? So he's going to bring a story of a role model, a character, who actually demonstrates this quality of wisdom. Ukvar nimsa shorish lemida hamishuvechas hazos mina Torah ba'avodas yom haches nemar sham. So it says in Vayikra Yud Tez Zayin to Yud Zayin v'asir achatas drosh drash Moshe v'nei soreif v'yiktzos al Elazar v'al Itamar v'nei Aaron hanosarim lemor madua lo achaltem es achatas. So there's a story in Chumash, where they were inaugurating the Mishkan, and Moshe wanted to know what happened to the Korban, and he got angry at Elazar and Itamar, the children of Aaron. Why didn't you eat? He says, why didn't you eat this Korban? So Moshe gets angry, and he basically, yells, you want to say not yells, asks forcefully, the children of Elazar and Itamar, why didn't you eat the sacrifice? You should have eaten the sacrifice. That was part of the responsibilities, your responsibilities of the day. So he continues, Barbanel.
The question was for to Aaron, but in order to respect Aaron, so he spoke to the children.
So Barbanel is gonna say differently, slightly differently. So he says as follows: Vitira shetochachas Moshe v'sheila, so I saw Elazar v'Itamar. Right. The tochacha, the rebuke, was to the children, but the heim lo hishivu klal, they didn't respond. The heishiv Aaron aviyim, Aaron's the one who responded. So Rabbi Shiloni gave the explanation: the reason Aaron responded is because he knew that Moshe was actually just yelling at him, and Moshe wanted to be respectful of Aaron, so he critiqued the children. That's not what the Abarbanel says. The Abarbanel says he was yelling at Elazar and Itamar, but yet they stayed silent, and Aaron is the one who responded. Vayidaber Aaron al Moshe, hein ayomi krivu es chatasam vesolasam lifnei Hashem v'tukreno si ke'ela. So Aaron gives his response. You can look at the psukim there to get the context of what his response exactly is. But he responds, Ve'im Moshe lo diber im Aaron, lama hishivu Aaron. If Moshe wasn't speaking to Aaron, where is Aaron coming from? He's, I'm not talking to you. Ella she'elazar v'itamar liyosem anashim chachamim lo ratzu l'daber b'fnei mishu gadol mehem b'chachma. So Elazar and Itamar are our role models here. Our Mishnah says, don't speak before somebody who's wiser than you. Moshe yells at Elazar and Itamar, and they follow this advice here and don't respond. Because I can't respond. You're too great. What am I going to respond to you, Moshe? I got nothing. I'm just here to listen. Bring it in. I'll soak in the rebuke. I can't respond to you. But Lachain Amdu Velo Anuod, Veshivu Aaron Badam, and Aaron's the one who has to respond, but they don't respond. Okay, so that's the paradigm here. Elazar and Itamar are our paradigm, not that they didn't respond to Moshe. That's the Abarbanel's example. And now, to cap it off, what does he do? He brings in Adam and Chava. Ve'ilu haisa osa Chava kacha. If Chava would have just done this. Shekasher diber elah nachash. When the nachash spoke to her. Tashivu davar ata im adam shu gadol mimeni b'chachma. If Chava would have just said, I can't respond to this. Adam's the one who has to respond. He's here. Talk to him. He's wiser than me. Why is he wiser than me? Again, I'm not sure, but perhaps he's the one who interacted with God. God's the one who spoke to him. So he was the primary source of the information. Who am I to respond to you? Nachash, you have a question. Go speak to Adam.
Ulai loya. That's why the Nachash didn't go to Adam.
Right. So Chava should have, Abarbanel saying, he's critiquing Abarbanel, Chava. Chava should have went and consulted with Adam. Ulai loya nimshach masha nimshach. If she would have done that, then it wouldn't, that we wouldn't have had what would have happened, and we all would have happily ever after in Gan Eden. Kiloya nifata demachar enachash kmoshen nifata chaba v'gam hu chacham ashibu davar dibor alofanov. He could have responded about chaba isaki golem v'dibor b'fnei adam bala shahaya gadol mena b'chachma. She shouldn't have spoken in front of Adam. She should have deferred to his wisdom as he was wiser. Again, perhaps just that's it. It doesn't say that all husbands are wiser than wives. It doesn't say that. In fact, it goes and says specifically, "Bedibra bifnei Adam bala," her husband shahaya gadol mimena b'chachma. But it could have been that it was dibra bifnei Adam bala that wasn't gadol mimena b'chachma. But either way, in this scenario, Adam was gadol b'chachma, and she should have consulted with him first. And that's why all that bad stuff happened. So this is the general methodology of the Abarbanel, and this really brings, to sort of recap, we'll close here. I know we only did one of the seven, so we have a lot to go, but we'll close here with at least an illustration of how this Mishnah works, is that we're going to, again, go through all seven of these. We're going to try to understand what each one means based on the commentaries, and we're going to have to try to see how it relates to Psukim and Mishle, other Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, how it relates to stories we have in Tanakh, how these things at the end, how these things all link together. Are there categories here? Is there ways to understand links between these seven? And these are the things we want to aspire to, and stay away from the opposite of which would consider us a golem, which will go with the Rambam's definition for now, means we have some wisdom, we have some character, but we haven't fully refined it, and it's our job to fully refine it. On our way to fully refining it, the first lesson that we have is not to speak in front of somebody who is wiser than us. That doesn't mean not to ask questions. It doesn't mean not to clarify, but it means, A, not, according to Pirkei Moshe, not speaking to somebody else in front of this person who's wise, because that's either disrespectful or a waste of time, because you could be taking advantage of the interaction that you could have with this wise person. Or it means, more broadly speaking, according to the Abarbanel, is that to take a stance in a learning environment when somebody is smarter than you, take a stance of listener, not a stance of speaker. That doesn't mean you can't speak, right? But it's sort of like, what's your priority? What's your go-to, your status quo? You can break that status quo, but my main objective when I'm coming to learn is to listen. And then I'll be able to ask and to question and to challenge, but first I have to listen. And we'll see as we go on that listening, to foreshadow a little bit, is going to be an important quality that recurs throughout this Mishnah. The ability to be the active stance of listener rather than speaker is an important quality. Okay, so with this we'll close for today. Next week we'll continue with, I assume we'll do at least more than one next week. You'll see part three here. The next one is relatively small. We'll probably be able to accomplish at least two or three before we move on to the rest of the seven. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Toda rabba.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and everybody be well.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Have a good week, everybody.